Have you ever heard this term from the remote viewing program, the witches?
I have.
That's not one you want to talk about on the air, right?
Well, you know, I know that there were some of the remote viewers who were educated in this Ingo Swann style of remote viewing, and apparently they brought in some other people that were using different techniques and maybe more traditional occult techniques, and they weren't very happy about that. I don't know a whole lot about them, but I do know one thing is that they were operating together at the same time when they started describing things like airplanes hitting buildings.
Okay, let's talk about 9/11 for a second. Now, what can you tell us from the documents, from conversations you've had about what would, could now be considered, in hindsight, warnings? Were there some of those, and if so, how far back?
Well, the first one I found was actually from 1983, and at the time, the military was experimenting with more of an altered state form of remote viewing, where they were trying to develop different states of consciousness to see how that would affect the results. And they were doing it at the Monroe Institute. And one of the results that came out of that was a prediction that an airplane would be loaded up with explosives and flown towards Washington to crash into the U.S. Capitol building. And this was in 1983, probably in December of 1983. It wasn't an official program, so it wasn't like an official tasking by the government. But it was kind of I thought that was interesting that they talked about airplanes hitting buildings that long ago.
Were there more? Did it pop up again?
It does pop up again, but what was really interesting about the first one was they tried to name the pilot. They couldn't get the actual name. They said he was a foreigner, and his name sounded something like Jerry or Gerard or Geraldo. And actually, the pilot who was flying Flight 93 that was intended to hit Washington, we think, either the Capitol or the White House, his name was Gerard. So it sounds a little bit like Jerry or Gerald.
That's pretty close.
And, it's pretty close. So I thought that was kind of interesting. And then later on in, I think it was about 1986, they had an official program where they were doing some tasking against actual terrorist incidents. And they were concerned for the Liberty celebrations. And some of the information that the psychics provided described attacks in New York City and Washington that would take place at the same time. And one of them described something about a building collapsing and something flying through it and causing it to collapse. And I thought that was also kind of interesting because there's like these little bits and pieces of information that are similar to 9/11, but a lot of the details, of course, are wrong. And they were really thinking about the present moment when they did this and not what was going to happen in the future.
What's Project P?
Well, Project P was something they did where they were looking at trying to predict the future. One of the ways they thought they'd try that would be to see what the newspapers were going to have on their headlines. And so they were experimenting with trying to read, like, the future headline in the Washington Post, for example.
Did it work?
Not too well from their point of view. They really didn't think that it was working. But what was kind of interesting is that if you looked at the some of the Project P experiments, there was information where they actually name a project called 9/11. And they're talking about newspapers, and they say there was a formula or a project, and the number was 9/11. So you kind of wonder if that was something that was kind of embedded in their psychic vision of the future and appeared back in that time, but they didn't have any context to put it into.
So they're picking it up, but they don't know what it means.
Exactly.
Wow. There's a name that you sent me in a note, Chris Robinson. I don't know this name.
Well, Chris Robinson is kind of an interesting case because Chris was, he's a gentleman who claims he dreams about the future. And he's worked with Scotland Yard and other, he's from the UK. And he's worked with people over there, you know, predicting terrorist attacks and plane crashes and things like that. And when he came here to the United States to the University of Arizona for some experiments back in August of 2001, he had a dream. He had a nightmare about airplanes hitting buildings. And he kept having this dream even after he returned to England, and he actually reported it to the authorities. And then, of course, 9/11 happened shortly thereafter.
Do you happen to know if remote viewing was ever turned on, like the JFK case?
That, you know, I don't. I haven't seen anything about that.
That'd be an interesting experiment for them. Now, as you mentioned, you know, along the way, people like Ingo and others, they're trying out these techniques and trying to develop them, and they keep seeing what we'll call, for lack of a better term, aliens. Am I exaggerating?
It's reported an awful lot, that's for sure.
And is that sort of where the UFO field and the remote viewing field sort of join, at some of the same names that you see behind the scenes involved with both topics? Is that where they join?
George, I think what we see is there's a lot of the same people that are interested in both topics. I don't know if you've ever heard of the UFO working group, but there were these various government working groups that existed.
What Howard Bloom wrote about?
Howard Bloom wrote about it, and there were some actually, you know, as part of the early Stargate programs, there were working groups on the psychic phenomena, on the mind over matter, psychokinesis phenomena. And then there were some working groups that got interested in the UFOs. And one of the stories that you hear, and this again isn't something that's in the documents that you can say this is definitely what happened, but one of the stories you'll hear about was a Russian submarine that had exploded and was sunk, and later on they tried to remote view this incident. They actually tasked, I believe it was Ingo, to look at it and kind of report on what actually happened. And when he went to do this, allegedly he reported that there was some kind of what looked like a flying saucer, you know, sitting above the submarine, apparently interfering with the submarine's attempt to launch a missile, and then that caused the missile to explode and the submarine sank.
Now, how, you know, that information comes back from somebody like Ingo. He tells it, he relates it to the people he's working with. They tell their bosses. Have you ever seen any indication, or do you have a guess? How is that received? I mean, is there a point that they say, oh, that's too crazy, we're not going to believe that?
Every indication is they took some of this stuff pretty seriously, because you've got secrets stamped all over these documents. How they interpreted it might be a different story, but they certainly were interested. Even at CIA, they were back in the 70s, they were discussing the UFO phenomena, and that there were people at CIA that were interested in it. They weren't doing anything officially, but you can find documents where they talk about UFOs.